I'm Morgan Eisen.
This is Jackie Leibowitz.
Diana Kovicho.
Robert Klein.
And hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Coffee After COVID. Firstly, we would like to say hello, welcome, and how are you on this wet and cold evening from South Africa? Today we're going to talk to you a bit about where we are, where we were with COVID. It's been a year since we were here, so we're going to chat in a bit. We're going to talk about what is happening currently in everyone's places. I mean, there's drama everywhere. With all of that, welcome to another episode of Coffee After COVID. We're happy you're here. We're happy to be here. We're excited to be here. Maybe a little bit more sleep deprived, but we're still going. So let's jump right in. So ladies, why don't you give me an update with how's everything going before we start our topic?
Oh, it's going. You said it was wet and cold. Here it's wet and like really hot.
Oh, yeah.
Very, very, very wet.
So it completely has been raining constantly. Because yes, we are in a severe storm at the moment, like level 4 hurricane storm, yeah.
We actually just had a hurricane pass through all of the East Coast. It hit a lot of the islands, then went down to like Florida and all that.
That
and
would be
up the East Coast.
Tropical storm Elsa?
Elsa!
Let it go! Let it go!
Just let it go!
I'm sorry. That
but
was
the cold didn't bother her anyway, but like,
because it's warm.
It's really hot. It's, I mean, it's hit about 100 degrees the last like few days. Today's a little cooler.
Yeah.
Yes, but she was a hurricane when she was down south, and then because she went over land, got downgraded to a tropical storm.
Yes.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It was really bad, in like the lower part of the country. In Florida, it was rough. But now we have, as it made its way up here, like we've had some really bad rain. Some Morgan and I today both have a flash flood warning. So it is humid and it is really, really wet. So break out those rain boots wherever you are in the world, apparently.
Well, yeah, because I mean, yes, so we're expecting a polar ice wind front to come in. I still don't know what that means, but basically, ooh, it's freezing, firstly. It's soaking. Like, the other day, it was raining so hard that we had to stop the rehearsal because we actually couldn't hear each other and we were inside in a building.
We had some polar vortexes this past couple years, and that
I
was.
I don't know what. We've got these lines that's coming towards South Africa. If you look on the map, it's like these white lines. It's scary. It's all I know. I mean, then on the other side, literally South Africa is in complete anarchy and it's absolutely hell. So
pretty amazing to me / amazes me combined into non being able to speak English right now. it amazes me that you have a lot of stuff going on there and things are like hitting the news and taking up so much stuff. But here in the United States, we're really not hearing about these things. We're hearing about Cuba. We're hearing about Haiti. But we're not hearing about South Africa.
We still have the Florida collapse.
Because it's actually chaos here. I mean, it was last of the 7th of July. Former President Zuma was arrested on multiple charges, including sexual assault, corruption, fraud. There's a lot of but basically since he's arrested, South Africa has gone a little bit crazy, if we can say the least. There's severe riots and protesting that has broken out. It has gotten to a point where our current president made an announcement tonight and not officially declaring state of emergency, but he did deploy the army in to go assist. So that's terrifying. At the same time, we've also gone up a level in COVID. We're back to level 4. New curfew, no audience, no shows. Fun times. That is why I've decided to take up drawing now, because that alleviates my stress. It's better than alcohol.
Yeah, I will. I'm a coloring person too.
I'm gonna give a shout out here to Coloring Broadway, who is phenomenal and make Broadway themed coloring pages, which are so helpful to me personally for my anxiety.
That sounds so cool.
They are wonderful, and everyone, they are a small business. Please support them. They are incredible. They're part of the Broadway Makers Alliance. Coloring Broadway. Look them up.
Please buy some, and if ever do come to that side, then I can grab some.
Oh, that you sounds can see amazing. Them, but they have them digitally. They have them. You can order hard copies on Amazon. It's amazing.
Oh, wow.
So I'm just giving that free shout out over there because they're wonderful.
But Jackie, talking about Broadway, what is happening in Broadway?
Broadway, Broadway, how great you are. I'm sorry. That needs to be
Broadway's
the beginning.
Broadway's back and it's better than ever, or almost back.
I needed to give that.
There are shows that are open because we have Springsteen that's currently going on.
Yes. That is,
even though that's prior to the date.
So the announcement was that shows could open at full capacity without masks as of, and without proving vaccine status, as of September 14th. And it was going to be left up to the shows to figure out what they were going to do. We have a few that are sort of breaking that rule. Springsteen opened at the end of June, but they are requiring proof of vaccination or a negative COVID test within, I think, 24 hours for those that are not old enough or have a serious religious exemption. And the next show to open is going to be Passover, which is a new play that opens in August at the August. Is it August? Yeah. In August at the August Wilson Theater. And just a shout out, I would like to say that currently all the new straight plays that have been announced are all by Black playwrights, and that is incredible. That's never happened.
Oh, wow. That is amazing.
That's never happened, and that is amazing, and that is how we start moving forward. So yeah. that is the next one, Passover. And then you have Hadestown, which opens on September 2nd. Ju Jamson is really starting the game here. All the early shows are all Ju Jamson theaters. So I think that says something about where they're going. And then we start trickling in a lot of shows, as we said, will open September 14th. And everyone is slowly announcing when they're coming back. But I'll be in a theater September 7th. I can't wait to see what happens. It's going to be very nerve-wracking. Even before that, we still have 54 Below that's already open and is checking vaccines for now. You have to buy tickets and pods. Theater is coming back. There are a couple off-Broadway shows that are running. You have Jackie Hoffman is doing Fruma Sara, Waiting in the Wings, as like an off-Broadway play. It's a whole thing. She's always phenomenal. There's a lot going on. But it's cool to see how they are being very careful and equity is working around all these things, and we're slowly making our way back for this kind of grand celebration in September when everyone opens.
So, I mean, it's interesting to hear that because now in South Africa, but don't tell the people of South Africa yet because it's not officially out yet. But coming into effect later this year, we'll be having vaccination is compulsory at work. And if you're unable to get a vaccine due to health reasons, religious reasons, or you refuse, example, the company that you work for has a right to deploy you to a different department where you will not be in contact with people as per your current position.
That would not go over well here.
Yeah. I mean, there's already a lot of conflict regarding the vaccinations and vaccination status and being able to ask or not ask and all of that.
There were protests at Springsteen the first night. There were protesters outside that were anti-vax.
There's a lot of very questionable things that are going on because of people being upset and not wanting to get vaccinations. But the big question that comes back is when it has to do with employment, because a lot of the rules and laws that have changed here, whether it was local, state, federal, sort of were going in the direction of like letting you do whatever you want, because even before COVID, we had a large population of people who were anti-vax. So now that COVID has come into it, it's become this big question of, will employers be able to ask your vaccination status? Will you be required to be in a different space, at this, at that? So I think it's going to be very interesting. And I think there are going to be a lot of people who are very upset, but I don't know that something like that wouldn't necessarily happen here. But I think no matter what happens, there are going to be a lot of people who are upset, because there are people who have gotten the vaccine and people who haven't gotten the vaccine that feel extremely strongly about the other group.
Oh, yeah. I've watched a very tense board meeting in my town about students being vaccinated, and that is without children under 12 here still can't get the vaccine. So that's without them even being able to get it. So
Here it's under 18.
yeah,
Here
here
it's under
we have
18.
which state you're in, 12 to 18 can, or 12 to 16 can get it. In certain states, and then 16 and over can get it anywhere in the country.
So I'm in currently here. So we did this healthcare workers, obviously, blah blah, with the vaccine law, sorry. And then we went over to the 60s plus ages, and now we went over to 50 plus. And as of Tuesday, Wednesday, first Friday, it will be 35 to 50s. So vaccine law is going very fast, except
That
now with
part
Zoom.
definitely did here too. So that once you get under like 60, it starts moving very quickly to get everyone else, because then you realize people need it. Let's get it to the people who can, so that we don't waste doses.
Also,
But you
when you
know,
have things like people who have medical conditions and you allow them to get it when it's 60 plus, you start vaccinating some of the higher risk people who are under 60. So some of those people who were really excited to get the vaccine already have it by the time
yeah.
their technical age group is allowed to. So that kind of
That
helps
was
too.
me.
It's just a matter of me too. It's just a matter of getting the rest of the people who are in that age group that haven't already gotten it to get their vaccine. So it moves a lot
So,
quicker.
I don't know if you guys remember, but at the beginning, we South Africa said no one with comorbidities will be getting vaccinated. And it's actually now been implemented. If you have certain comorbidities, you can get vaccinated. But you know, on this topic, it's interesting to just like talk now and think where we were a year ago versus now. I mean, for South Africa, a year ago today, we were in wave one. It was like, oh, whatever, you know, it's nothing. We just came through that hard lockdown, the cigarette ban. We were still in the cigarette ban. We were still in the alcohol ban. And then everything wasn't fine. Like, everything, not everything open, but it went semi back to normal. And then I mean, now, a few weeks ago, we've gone back. It's gone in chaos. We're in wave three, we're in level four again. We've got, I think, seven variants here now. It's gotten out of control, and it's so much worse than what it was last year, which is interesting because, I mean, you would expect that it gets better. But no, I mean, if I think about you guys, when we were in full lockdown, you guys weren't in full lockdown. And now that we are back in lockdown, you guys were open. I mean, just let's touch base on that quickly. Tell me your verse. What was your time then and now? How's the differences?
I want to say that here, March, April, May was like when it was the worst. And starting like May, June, that was when the Black Lives Matter protests started happening. So we suddenly had this huge American civil rights movement on top of COVID. And we weren't thinking strictly of quarantine the same way anymore. But then I don't even think we were thinking of it as quarantine, as just do what you can to stay home. Because once we hit September and schools had to figure out what was happening, a lot of schools stopped for spring break and then went virtual the rest of the year. We had to figure out how to adjust here. So schools really, that was a major change as of September, and then kept going through the rest of the year. I watched people that had to that were pregnant that had to give birth wearing masks in some hospitals, and in other hospitals they didn't, and you weren't allowed, some people weren't allowed a partner there with them if when unless someone was actually dying. I just finished reading Amanda Kluth's book Live Your Life, which is about Nick Cordero, and reading it and seeing the dates and seeing we just passed 1 year since he died. He died July 6th, 2020. Reading the difference of his 90 days, 95 days in the ICU from April, May, June to the very beginning of July, and how crazy it was where they would not let her into the hospital unless he was going in for a life-threatening surgery. It is beyond words, actually reading about it and seeing what it was like. And I personally did not have to do anything like that, but I was in a hospital for a surgery, and it was its own game, and that was October. So I can't imagine what it was like at the beginning.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely has been quite a difference. And, you know, even just from the medical standpoint, as you guys all know, I go to a lot of doctors, and just seeing the way that the doctors started, and I started this pandemic, I mean, in March, I was in the hospital. You know, I started this whole thing and actually was kicked out of the hospital because there was a greater risk of me catching COVID in the hospital than out of the hospital, and just the way that people were and were not allowed to come visit. And then, you know, just how everything spiraled and who was able to come to my appointments and not. And then I had procedures and surgeries, and, you know, with everything, it was like, okay, do I have to come alone? Do I not? And previously, before the pandemic, there were certain things that they said, you know, you have to have somebody pick you up from it or be there because, you know, you have some form of anesthesia or there's risks or any of that. So you had to have somebody with you. But then when the rules changed because of the pandemic, it went from you were not allowed to have the procedure done unless there was somebody there to nobody's allowed to be there. And a nurse literally will wheel you out in a wheelchair and you go from their custody into the car of another person. But that person was not allowed to come in. So like now if somebody comes with me to something, they just have to like temperature check them and like ask, you know, 24 hours beforehand when you confirm your appointment, whether anybody in your house or household or friends you've been around are symptomatic or any of that kind of stuff. And even, I mean, I get seasonal allergies. I had an appointment that, you know, I had a cold, you know, I had symptoms of a cold, but because of the pandemic, we have to be really careful. And, you know, I have lupus. I run 102 fevers, like it's nothing sometimes. And because I was running a fever and I was, you know, exhausted and drained of energy, they had to give me a COVID test. And, you know, the way that you think about these things is very different. But, you know, we also, you know, touching a little bit on what Jackie was saying about schooling, you know, we had spring break. And then what do we do after spring break? And then the start of school a year ago, you know, okay, we're going to do virtual learning. And when our, you know, we hit this point, we can open it up, and teachers having to learn what they're going to do. And now looking to the September we're about to have, they're now saying everything is going to be 100% person with no virtual learning option at all. So who knows? And a lot of the teachers are trying to figure out how they feel, and like no masks, 3 feet between people, you know, gym and all of that going to be regular, cafeterias are going to be regular. So it's sort of like we're back to normal, but we're very much not back to normal. And it's like people are telling us that we are. And something that's actually been kind of bothering me a little bit is like that scroller on the bottom of the screen is saying that like crisis is over, the pandemic's over, but it's not. We still have people who are getting sick every single day, but we're not thinking about that and acknowledging that. And we have things like, you know, the Delta variant that people are still catching even when they're vaccinated, and people are still getting, so like, why are we not still wearing masks and this and that? And, you know, riding the subway, there are people that, you know, you rule of MTA is you need to have a mask. And there are people who don't even have one with them because they just leave the house without it. And I don't take the garbage out without a mask. So it's very different. And you know, it's a very different way of thinking and a very different way of all of that. And it's also kind of amazing that a lot of the stuff that we're seeing now going on with the political world in, you know, various countries sort of has been jumping countries, and we're sort of watching all of these things change, I think, because of COVID. I think that a lot of this time has given us time to think. So we're focusing on things and doing investigations we maybe wouldn't have, like we have going there and here. So it's definitely a difference from a year ago, but I hope that we do bigger and better things, just like Broadway, you know, having more diversity in who the playwrights are. We were marching in the streets asking for, you know, more representation, equality, better things, and maybe things will start to change. I really hope so.
We've seen a little bit of a difference. We saw that Scott Rudin stepped back from his shows. We have seen that Book of Mormon, while they are coming back, are going to do extensive rewrites because the actors in the show have said that they no longer feel comfortable performing these stereotypes, which anyone who sees the show, yeah, that's the joke, but it shouldn't be. We're past that. 10 years ago is not now. So while this year it seems like we've been on pause, hopefully the fights that we've been fighting will mean something better when we actually are on the other side, which we are so close to. I keep referencing, you guys know that I watch Stars in the House, which is Seth Rudetsky and James Wesley's show, raising money for the Actors Fund. It has been since the beginning of the pandemic. Their medical correspondent, Dr. John LaPoop, said something very important at the beginning. He said, "There, this seems like such a crazy time, but there will be a beginning, a middle, and an end. And right now, we are in the beginning of the end part. We are reaching that end. We are not there yet. We're in the beginning of the middle, the beginning of that part. But we're getting there. And if we keep working together, it just keep putting your mask on when you go outside. It's not going to hurt you to go into that store for an extra couple minutes with a mask on. Then that might make the difference of who knows how many people could spread this, that we could keep it from spreading."
And
I'm
just because things are getting better does not mean that this is over. It means that we need to continue to do things the way that we've been doing it so that we can reach that end and we don't have yet another spike. And, you know, we don't see things. And I mean, even just the prospects and, you know, comparing US to South Africa and what's going on there with you guys going back into lockdowns because of numbers, you know, we are, you know, further along the vaccine process. We are putting things in place the way that we have to hopefully not get another spike. And like our beaches, this is the first summer that our beaches and parks and stuff are actually going to be open. People went last summer, but that doesn't mean they were supposed to.
Yeah, I
But,
didn't
you know,
know.
comparing, I was talking to Dion, I'm like, what, your beaches and parks and, you know, all these things are open? Like it was such a foreign concept because the last time that I was able to go, you know, to the beach, and I go to Friday Fireworks down in Coney Island every year. That's a thing I do. You know, whatever I can do, I go to it. It's just a very nice outing. But I haven't been able to do that the last couple of summers. That wasn't a thing. So it's really nice to be able to do that again. And I hope that people don't abuse the fact that these beaches are going to be open so that we can continue down that right path.
Check me down the shore with a bathing suit and a mask on because that's totally going to happen. And I'm going to get mask tan lines. Watch it
Oh, I
happen.
already did. My forehead and like eyes and like temples and stuff were all like sunburned, but the rest of me was all white as can be. It was so
Can't wait.
funny.
Can't wait to watch my mask to match my mask to my bathing suit. Cannot wait.
So it sounds a lot, and I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but it sounds a lot for both of you. The worst experience from this was when you were in hospital and getting surgeries and stuff, or am I wrong?
that for me, I think that that was one of the worst things, because just watching how my medical procedures kept getting pushed, and that meant that I was uncomfortable for longer. Thank God that it wasn't worse. It could have been worse for me, but a procedure that I should have probably had in June waited till October. So that was an extra couple months of recovery, which meant a year of physical therapy instead of 9 months. So it was just, I could have had it much worse, but that was a full downside for me.
Yeah, I think the medical stuff on various levels was probably some of the worst, partially because it was so hard to be able to keep up with things and, you know, be safe. But there's also that fear of I'm immunocompromised. So like, I have no choice but to go to my doctors. And one of them is, you know, he's an infectious disease doctor. And that's the person who is, in America, at least, regulating these COVID standards and all of that. So people who had COVID, he's taken care of. That's, you know, his position. He's the doctor. It's doing that. And so me going to him, I don't know my exposure risks and being there for a long time. But also after surgery, it was really hard for me. I mean, I had two surgeries a month apart. It was very hard for me to not be able to like have my friends come over with food or like hang out on the couch and like watch a movie with me and keep me company. It was just me in my apartment for a lot of that time. And I had a friend who did come because I needed somebody to take me home from surgery and help me. And, you know, I was on bed rest. There's nothing you can really do about that. So that was very hard. But having that mental thing and also the isolation because of my medical stuff was also very hard. I live alone. So living alone in a place, not having family, not having all of that stuff, it was very hard by that. And I think that sort of affected everyone, even, you know, who have roommates or family that they live with. That isolation and mental factor of it is very, very hard on you, because that's not what we're used to, especially theater people, that we're used to like being in a room full of like actors and designers and directors, and that's every day. Or like New York City, I'm riding the subway with hundreds of other people that I don't know and go from
and
that.
Another 100 people just got off of the train.
Yep. I had to. So it's hard to go from that life to like being in your apartment, not being able to go anywhere, not being able to
there
go to a restaurant.
There is life outside your apartment.
There is
so many good ones.
But I mean, there must have been a best experience from this. Something that came out of this that, you know, honestly, you were grateful for, that was good, or am I wrong?
I think that the appreciation for what we do, that is one of the best for me. After, we've never had like such a shutdown in theater history ever, but we were one of the first things to shut down, and we knew we'd be one of the last to come back. And because of that, I feel like the appreciation for live entertainment became that much more. Getting a chance to work on a show again, I became emotional when I sat and watched high schoolers in an audition room. I finally recently got the chance to sing in front of an audience again outside. I just yesterday got to sing in a nursing home. And while I had to make sure I had my mask on for all the other time that I was not singing, it was so great to see their expressions to say, hey, we have people coming in to entertain us again. We haven't had that in so long. And to have something that is not on a screen, and to actually appreciate that after all this time, I feel like that's the best for me. Even though it took a while to get there, it makes you think about it and appreciate it more.
Yeah, sometimes you really don't appreciate what you have until you don't have it anymore. And especially, you know, nursing homes and assisted livings and stuff. I'm sure they were very appreciative, because for so long they were told they had to just be in their room. They weren't even allowed in like the community rooms and to have dinner with like their friends and hang out and socialize or do games. So
they're very
I can
excited.
Imagine that being very, yeah.
This particular home where I did this show is about to pilot an MTI program called Broadway Senior, which, apart from the Broadway Junior shows, which are meant for kids, they are specifically going to make these shows tailored so that seniors can perform them.
That's awesome.
They're about to pilot this program, which is really cool. So we got to sing for them, and now we'll get to work with them.
I think for me, the like best experiences have probably been the people I've gotten to meet, because when I'm back in like the regular world, I don't really have a lot of time to be socializing with people and meeting people. And I mean, especially people from all over the world, being able to do stuff like this symposium and like town halls. And it's been really great to be able to meet people from all over and make some new friends and basically sort of stop, you know. It's pretty ridiculous. And without this period to stop and meeting other people, there are a lot of things that wouldn't exist, including, you know, like the SMA is branching out to be able to go around the world with all sorts of people, and things like our podcast are doing that too. I mean, Dion's involvement just in both of those is a close example that we have to this podcast of all of that. And it's pretty amazing to be able to speak to people all over the world and learn the different ways. And I honestly think we can learn a lot from each other if we just take that time to stop and communicate with one another.
Remember meeting us, Dion, when it was the middle of the night for you, and we met in little chat boxes just like this.
I know. And it was,
and what about the birds? The birds chirping in the morning.
That speed chatting, it was 30 seconds? Yeah. It was 30 seconds.
Maybe a minute. 30
seconds, we made a connection. How crazy.
It's amazing how all of this went.
We would watch the sunrise over Zoom because Dion would stay up all night talking to us.
No, yep. I mean, and it honestly makes me a bit emotional, you know, to think what we've gone through this whole time and still, you know, made these friends and these connections and stuff. And it's memories that will forever last, that I'll be forever grateful for. And I mean, hearing you two say your best and worst things, I think my worst was honestly my breakdown last year when lockdown happened, because I'm not someone who can be stuck. I'm someone that works 24/7. I'm someone that powers on four shows at the same time so that I do not sit still. And I mean, it was a bad one, but also the good from that is I had time to work on myself and find myself and find who I am. Like, it felt like I was living in the shell for so long. And after that, after lockdown, I got to break free and I got to be me. I got to, you know, build my life. I got to, you know, and
we're breaking free. I'm so sorry. I needed that.
I have stuck in a show where I am playing me.
Anyway, but I mean, on that same note, it's, you know, meeting these amazing people and making these connections. And it's people that, I mean, like you guys, it's people that I would have never met in my life, ever. I mean, what is the chances of, if this didn't happen, just think about it, what is the chances that I would have met you guys? Yes, I might have come to New York, I might have come to the Broadway show, but how would I have actually met you? Like, the chances.
I bet I would have been talkative and I would have found you and we would have figured it out somehow.
No, I mean,
I do believe that
the universe, you know, puts people in your life that needs to. So I'm sure we would have, but the chance of that happening is just so rare. Like,
I mean, I will say that I've met international people at a lot of stage doors and rush lines, and that I didn't realize, and now go off to other countries back home and I realize, oh, I have other friends on other parts of the world. But that's rare. That's pretty rare.
It is very rare. And I think, in essence, all I can say is thank you, because I honestly am grateful. I mean, if you guys met me with blonde, no, you didn't meet me with blonde, did you?
Yeah.
You guys met me with blonde hair, and I mean, I went through the whole process of shaving my hair and old Britney moment, you know, toxic.
Even went
you know,
blue green for a little while.
Went through that, went through the shaving, went through the And I mean, now we're here, so black, you know, starts. It's a lot has changed. And
meanwhile, my hair grew because I had cut my hair right before quarantine. So I cut my hair February. So my hair just grew and grew in the time that Dion changed his multiple times.
Yeah.
We have a Rapunzel on our hands. Don't worry.
I think we can just be grateful in general, in all aspects, you know, grateful because a lot of people have learned to what it is, you know, what you could be missing and stuff. Like you say, Jackie, you know, like the appreciation and stuff, which is good.
We've made our way around and we're glad that has led us here to this podcast, to you.
Yeah. So
and I can say exactly the same.
We also have had a lot of really good laughs about things that I don't know that we would have been able to beforehand, and even just the like Pedro, wait, what you had to go, what is that gas, you had to put gas in your car, like little things like that, or you know, double fisting and explaining that to Dion. But it's what part of the things that have made this last year just a whole lot of fun.
The first time that we learned, oh wait, you have to shut your power off, what that and going through that entire conversation for the first time,
and load shedding.
We totally thought was load shitting at the beginning, and we're like, what in the world is that?
Yep. Sometimes getting used to Dion's accent was its own adventure.
Honestly, I don't think my life would have been the same without this last year with Coffee After Curvis, our listeners, our loyal supporters. I mean, we do need to give out a shout out to Rebecca, because after every bloody episode, she messages and says something.
We love you, Rebecca.
We do.
And it's been a journey. It really has been an extraordinary journey. But I think, I mean, with that, you know, I think that's us signing off. We are saying goodbye. We say thank you for listening to us. As usual, please remember you can check us on our social media for any updates, important announcements. You know, it's all there. So, and even if we are not always here, remember we are still in the social media. You can message us. You can talk to us. You can still reach us, even if we do not specifically appear as a podcast on your platform. Just remember that always. And lastly, thank you, everyone. And scene.